The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Title Time Trash Talk. With the legends ready to go, the bulletin board material finally flies. Wait till you hear who said it. Then, hold everything. This eagle may still be ready to fly out of Philly. Shefty thinks it'll happen. We've got the very latest. And then, the one person who would know tells us exactly how it's going to end for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Spoiler alert, not well. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. Counting down the days to the Super Bowl. Greeny from our studios in the Seaport of New York City. Delighted to be here and delighted to welcome this crew that is ready to go. Dominique Foxworth is delightfully dressed today for the occasion. Graziana's got the insight. And Booger and Lewis are down in Tampa. And I'm curious to hear their reaction to our top story because, candidly, it would not have been a problem for them as we work our way towards the kickoff of Super Bowl 55 on Sunday here. We're now 3 days away and counting in our developing story from Dan Graziano. Dan, what is the latest on the Chiefs' COVID situation and just how close a shave was it for Demarcus Robinson and Dan Kilgore?
You know, Greeny, honestly, this is a story about the league's protocols working. There was a late November change to the COVID protocols that allows teams to bring in up to five people per week that fit into one of three categories: a medical specialist like a chiropractor, a massage therapist, or a barber. These people have to be tested before they're allowed into the facility, and they're tested every day that they're there along, just like the players and other personnel. They have to wear a face shield and an N95 mask while performing their services, and the player who's getting the haircut has to as well. So what happened is, as you see here, the Chiefs were getting their haircut the other day, and the barber's test came back positive. So they had to stop in the middle of Daniel Kilgore's haircut and get him and Demarcus Robinson and the barber out of the facility because Kilgore and Demarcus Robinson were identified as high-risk close contacts. Now, Kilgore's having some fun there. That's not presumably what his hair actually looks like at the moment, but the report that he was stopped mid-haircut resulted in that tweet from him. So those two are high-risk close contacts. They have to stay away for 5 days, which in this case means they should be back in time for the game as long as they continue to test negative. And all the other people that were waiting to get their hair cut, including Patrick Mahomes, never got in contact with the barber, so they didn't have to be removed and isolated. They could continue to practice and be around the facility.
Well, if there's one thing we have known, if anyone who's been watching any football knows, that in order to get the Patrick Price, you have to get his haircut. So that could be a problem for them. But I did want to bring the crew in here on this one, and particularly to get the insight from Lewis Riddick and Booger McFarland as to how significant of a problem you feel this might have been for yourselves had you been in this situation. Guys, I feel you might have a unique perspective, do you think, on the danger of getting a haircut so close to the Super Bowl. Booger, what is your reaction?
Well, Greeny, first of all, back then I did have hair. And getting a haircut right before the Super Bowl was something everybody wanted to do. You got to look fresh, Greeny. Like, everybody wants to look fresh. Nowadays, I don't have to worry about that because I can cut my own hair in about 4 or 5 minutes. But, Greeny, haircut is one of the most essential things you can have for an NFL player.
Lewis, I was looking for something funny.
Oh, there's no... Yeah, so Booger didn't give you nothing. I get it, man. I get it. Look, I played in the days with Deion Sanders, so you know what Deion always says. He says, you look good, you feel good. You feel good, you play good. And when you play good, you get paid good. So, I get it. I get it. I get that they wanted to look. I was just wondering why they were getting a haircut like a whole week ahead of time. Yeah.
You guys are in Tampa. Covering the Super Bowl. You just got to go find Tom Brady and get on that TB12. I hear it does wonders for the hairline. It has that thing going forward and forward. You just got to get on that avocado ice cream.
Hey, man, I'm not even tripping. I'm not even worried about it anymore, though. I'm like, Boog, I'm good. I'm good. I'll have to worry about nobody wearing no mask, no face shield. I'm good.
Okay, fair enough. Let's leave it there for the moment.
Gave up a long time ago, Nick.
Let's get to the football piece of this if we can. I'm going to ask each of you for one thing you're watching for on Sunday. Lewis Riddick, what do you have your eye on?
I'm watching the defensive backs of the Kansas City Chiefs and their ability to get up on the line and play press coverage. Look, these guys absolutely took Buffalo out of their game plan last week as far as their ability to really put pressure on them at the line of scrimmage and then get pressure on the quarterback. That's going to be imperative in this game. Remember the name Legarius Sneed, their rookie this year, their rookie corner who plays both inside and outside. He's a sneaky good player.
Neek, what are you looking for?
Travis Kelce. I think that the Bucs learned their lesson about Tyreek Hill. They're going to double him this time, and Travis Kelce is going to go going up against some safeties that are just coming off of injury. So I think Kelce is going to be a big part of this game playing early.
I set the record for most yards receiving ever this season by a tight end. Booger, what are you watching for?
Well, Green, it's got to be the matchup with this Buccaneer defensive line against this Chiefs offensive line. We can talk about Patrick Mahomes being all world, the greatest player ever, et cetera, et cetera. But I've never seen anyone throw on their back. So if the Buccaneer defensive line is able to get to Patrick Mahomes, I don't care how good he is, they will affect him during this game.
Well, look, and no one knows better than you do, Booger McFarland. Let's stop down there for a minute. That in Tampa Bay, you win Super Bowls with great defenses. The last time they won this game, you were a part of that defense, and it's one of the great defenses of all time. So, Dominique Foxworth, am I oversimplifying it if I were to say that this game comes down to, can the Buccaneers pass rush wreck the game? They did it to some degree against Aaron Rodgers. Now the Chiefs are without their starting left tackle. If they wreck the game, they have an excellent chance to win. If they don't, then they can't beat Patrick Mahomes. Is that oversimplifying it?
No, I think football is a pretty simple game. Sometimes we make it complex when we go through all the X's and O's and all the different externalities that could affect the game. But if you can't block guys, you can't win. If those defensive linemen are sitting in Patrick Mahomes' lap, we've seen him throw on all types of arm angles, and we've seen him shed off defenders and throw while spinning. But if they keep doing it time after time, nobody is that good. And we saw it happen to Aaron Rodgers, one of the best we've ever seen a couple weeks ago. Aaron Rodgers was playing well when he wasn't getting assaulted by Shaq Barrett or Vita Vea or JPP or Sue. Like, those guys played well last week. That was the reason why they won, and they might be the reason why the Bucs have a chance to win this week.
So we're all defensive, or you guys are all defensive players here, Lewis. Let's give the fans something to look for. If those guys start wrecking the game, do you believe it causes things for the fans to watch? Will Kansas City have to change up what they're doing? Do they have to keep extra people in? Will they not be able to do the full complement of what they want to do in their passing game because they have to commit extra people to keeping Patrick Mahomes protected? Lewis, is that your expectation?
Well, it could be, yeah. I think it's a twofold issue, though, and Neek knows this, and so does Booger. Not only does the pass rush need to win and Kansas City need to block him up, but see, what needs to happen for Tampa Bay is in the back end, at the second and third level of the defense, those guys have to disrupt the timing of guys like Tyreek and Travis, because if they're able to get off the ball quickly and still win their one-on-ones in those first 5 yards, then Patrick's just going to get that ball out before 2.5 seconds. It's not going to matter if they're winning. That's how it all goes together. Remember how New England used to beat Kansas City when they weren't beating them? It was because the front and the coverage were going together. Not only were they winning up front, but the defensive backs were beating up his wide receivers, and Patrick had to hold the football. That's the key. So as long as this young secondary of Tampa Bay holds up their end of the bargain, then I think you really do have a problem for Kansas City. But if they don't, then they won't have to keep extra people in, because Patrick will just get through his progressions quick, and he'll get them in the catch-and-run situations, which they're the very best in the NFL at doing. You get Tyreek the ball on a rocket screen, tunnel screen, a quick slant, he'll take it 90 on you in a hurry. So it's really going to be about the secondary helping out the front as well.
Bear in mind, when these teams played each other earlier in the season, Tyreek Hill had 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. So, Booger, design the defense for me. If you're the defensive coordinator for Tampa Bay this weekend, you're Todd Bowles. Give me the defensive strategy.
Well, Green, I think what you hear Dominique and Lewis saying is pass defense is a combination of rush and coverage. With that being said, I think Andy Reid also knows that Mike Remmers and Andrew Wiley aren't his normal starting tackles. So, yes, they're going to design a game plan to protect those guys. If you're asking me what I would do, I think the key chess piece in this game is not Tyreek Hill, it's Travis Kelce, because Travis Kelce controls the middle of the field. So I'm going to take a page of what I've seen work. Success leaves clues all the time in life. Let's go back to when Patrick Mahomes and this Chief offense offense struggled against the defense. What did Bill Belichick do? He kept a safety over the top of Tyreek Hill, and he bracketed and hit Travis Kelce. For the life of me, Greeny, I do not understand why teams allow Travis Kelce to get a free release out into the pass pattern. Bang this man. Make it difficult for him. Do not allow maybe the best route running tight end we've seen in a long time to have free release out in his pass pattern. So if I'm Bowles, I'm bracketing Travis Kelce. And if I can take one thing away, I'm taking away Travis Kelce because I can keep the safety over the top of Tyreek Hill.
I need 30 more seconds on that because Dominique, Rob Ninkovich said the exact same thing yesterday on the show, said anyone who doesn't hit one of those two guys when they come off the line of scrimmage isn't doing their job. But no one ever seems to disrupt them. Why is that?
Because it requires you to take someone else from doing something else. Like, that makes you weaker against the run. That makes it harder to cover the slot receiver. Like, I understand the point, but I guess the strategy there is make them beat you left-handed. But the problem is the Chiefs, they never really look left-handed. Like, if you take away Kelce, it's not like Mecole Hardman can't go 75 on you also. He did it in the championship game. Right. It's not like a healthy Sammy Watkins won't be a problem too. And it's not as if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a bum. Like, that's the tough thing. You start bracketing and doubling two and three guys, you're going to run out of guys. And Patrick Mahomes is going to find the open dude.
So maybe that's the answer. Is if the Buccaneers can petition to play with 14 guys on defense, they'll have a better chance.
Okay. Be all right.
Much more on the Super Bowl as we go. Now let's get to the latest from Philly. This got interesting yesterday. Carson Wentz. Well, we know the deal. Injuries have taken a significant toll. Suffered that torn ACL in 2017 when he was playing great. Then the fractured vertebrae in 2018. Concussion in 2019 in the playoffs. This year, Wentz was sacked a league-high 50 times, threw 15 picks, and got benched in favor of Jalen Hurts. So what is next for Wentz? If the Eagles trade him before the third day of the league year, they'd still be on the hook for almost $34 million. Yesterday, here's what Shefty had to say about his expectations.
He wants to leave the franchise. That's why the trade still is in play. This is all real, and this is made up. And just because he would like to be moved doesn't mean he will be. If I had to guess, I would guess he is traded. That'd be my guess, okay, at some point this offseason. But again, they're not just going to trade him. They're not looking to get rid of him. They're not.
Okay, but when Shefty says things like, if I had to guess, I would guess he'll be traded, the world just stops, and for understandable reasons. And we all know Shefty well enough to know he doesn't just say those things haphazardly. So, Dan Graziano, what can you tell us about the insight? Because this seems contrary to the moves they've made so far this offseason.
It does, right. One of the main reasons Doug Peterson is no longer the Eagles head coach is because he and the organization had a different view on what to do with Wentz going forward. One of the reasons Nick Sirianni is the Eagles head coach is because they view him as a guy, because he worked for Frank Reich, who could potentially fix Carson Wentz. The Eagles do not want to move on from Wentz. They want to get him back playing well and have him be their franchise quarterback. So what Adam is saying is that Wentz, we have seen nothing to dispute Chris Mortensen's reporting from a few weeks ago that said Wentz wants out. And as long as he wants out, the trade is still possible. Does he pull what Deshaun Watson is doing in Houston and try and force the team's hand? But you mentioned, Greeny, almost $34 million in dead money against their cap if they trade him this spring. That's a lot more. Jared Goff is costing the Rams $22 million in dead money this year, one of the highest figures ever. So it's a lot more complicated and difficult for the Eagles to move Wentz even than it was for the Rams to move Goff. And I think that's important for people to remember as we go forward here.
So many people, myself included, sort of perceived what's happened there as Wentz winning a power struggle with Doug Peterson. That's why he's still there. So the notion of trading him seems crazy. Booger, you were shaking your head. What are your thoughts?
Well, Greeny, because I don't think he's going to get traded. Listen, down in Houston, we have a quarterback that's trying to get everything he wants, and the organization doesn't seem to want to give it. In Philadelphia, they're trying to give Carson Wentz everything he wants. They're bringing in a coach from Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni that basically says, hey, go in and fix Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts probably earned the right to be the starter going into the season, but I guarantee you he's not going to be. At the very, very worst, it's going to be a quarterback competition. So what does Carson Wentz want? We are giving you everything you want in this organization, but you still want out? I think other teams around the league would probably look at him and say, well, what exactly are you looking for? You have a tailor-made situation in Philly. You have a head coach that comes from a tree with Frank Reich that you were successful under. What are you looking for? So I honestly do not think he's going to get traded. I think Jeffrey Lurie and that organization did everything they can to acquiesce to him. We brought in a coach that fits you. I just don't think. I love Shefty, but I just don't think Carson Wentz is going anywhere. And it's going to be a quarterback competition between Wentz and Jalen Hurts going into the season, and may the best man win.
Well, to be clear, I think what Shefty is saying is Wentz may still try to force this, that nothing that has happened has changed Wentz's view on the thing. We all get the Eagles don't want to do it, Lewis. So where does it go from here?
Yeah, look, right now I just don't understand where Carson feels as though his bargaining power really is coming from. Because, look, if he were to sit there and assess his own performance value relative to his cost, what acquiring team right now is going to be beating down the door of the Philadelphia Eagles to get him? Because given all the things that he struggled with this past year, and I'm a defender of Carson Wentz, I still believe that the young man has a great career ahead of him, provided he gets his act together. I mean, if you're Carson Wentz and you're evaluating your own performance, let's see, I didn't play very well. I have this injury-prone type of label that's hanging over my head. I'm sitting here and I'm being perceived as someone who didn't react very well to a young quarterback from Oklahoma being brought in here, and Jalen Hurts, who then took my job. And I'm kind of like being perceived as being a guy who's a pouter, who's kind of stomping his feet and saying, you know what, I didn't like the fact that I had to sit on the bench. And now you're talking about, you know, maybe, you know, sending me out of here. And maybe I just want out of here and I don't like how the fans treat me, on and on and on. Well, if I'm another football team, I'm going, what do I want to deal with that for and take on that contract? So not only may you not have a buyer, but the Eagles may be sitting there going, look, we're not taking on all this dead money for this. We're going to try and fix this, and that's what we've tried to do. So what is that all equal to me? Carson being in Philadelphia. But as Shefty has said, and as I know very well from experience, anything can happen in this league, but I would be shocked if he's moved.
It is remarkable. We ran through all the injuries that Wentz has had. If the one thing that winds up getting him out of town is a case of hurt feelings, that would really be something. But that feels like where it might be going. At least that's what I think Shefty is suggesting. Then there's this. As we work our way towards Super Bowl 55, Aaron Rodgers continues to find himself a spectator, again falling one game short, this for the second straight season. What does the future hold now with Jordan Love waiting in the wings? Well, Brett Favre is a guy who's been there before. He knows, and here's what he expects.
Somewhat similar to mine and Aaron's situation. Aaron is a tremendous player and has been for that organization a long time. But at some point, if he continues to play, you have to figure out, what do you do with the guy that you think will replace him? Do you give him a blockbuster deal without him really even proving that he's worth it? Or do you trade him and do whatever and then run the risk of an aging quarterback falling apart at some point the next season? I don't see any decline in Aaron's game, but we're not getting any younger.
So I just like listen to that, and I'm trying to figure out what, Dominique, what do we take away from that?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous that they might try to trade Jordan Love, because Jordan Love probably has no value at this point. No one's seen him play, and as soon as they announce that Jordan Love might be on a trading block, people assume that it's because he's not good, not because they're trying to build around Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, I think Brett Favre didn't say anything there that was untrue. You're right. At some point, Aaron Rodgers is going to be old, and at some point, his play is going to fall off the cliff. They can choose to turn to Jordan Love a season too early or a season too late. That's the choice that they're going to have to make. But I think that trading him right now, they get nothing. Then they wasted kind of a first-round pick, because they're certainly not going to get a first-round pick back.
Well, that's remarkable if you think about it. Last year, to your point, we've seen absolutely nothing from Jordan Love since he was a first-round pick last year. So it's sort of like that thing where you drive a car off a lot and it immediately exactly. loses all of its value, even though it's only gone 1 mile. Booger, what do you think?
You know, I think Brett Favre is making the rounds during Super Bowl week, and he's kind of talking too much, Greeny. Understand this. I'm old enough to remember a year ago when Jordan Love was drafted, everybody said, man, Aaron Rodgers is going out of town, and he was coming off a quote-unquote down year where he threw for 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 4 picks. And I'm like, when did that get you ran up out of town? And now fast forward, Greeny, a year later, he's the MVP, and Brett Favre is basically saying, well, at some point, you got to replace him. Well, guess what, Brent? That point ain't anytime soon. He's about to win the MVP. And regardless of what they do with Jordan Love, really doesn't matter, Greeny. It's the toughest position in sports to find, which is a quarterback. And they have, at the very worst, the second-best quarterback in the league. Behind Patrick Mahomes. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. They're going to acquiesce to whatever he wants, whether it's a new contract, whether it's some more money or whatever. You are not concerned. And I think Matt LaFleur said it. He is going to be our quarterback. So Brett Favre, I get it. It's Super Bowl week. We're making the rounds. He's saying the obvious. At some point, we got to move on. But you know what that point is? That point ain't now, Greeny, and it ain't anytime soon.
Dan Graziano, you hearing anything out of there?
You know, no, I checked in with Packers people yesterday. They're pretty focused right now on hiring a new defensive coordinator. They've been doing those interviews this week. So this is an issue that isn't front and center this week. If they do something with Aaron Rodgers' contract, either to give them some cap relief or, as some have suggested, to maybe guarantee some future money and broadcast some security to him, then that will be before the start of the league year on March 17th. But it probably isn't going to be this week while they have another item going on. But look, I mean, to Booger's point, Brett's not saying anything that reveals any kind of insight into how the Packers work. He's just sort of telling you what you already knew about the situation. It'd be like if we came on to break down the Super Bowl and we said the Buccaneers are going to use 11 players on offense and the Chiefs are going to use 11 players on defense, and if someone gets into the colored rectangular part of the field, they will get 6 points. That's pretty much the equivalent of what we're hearing from Brett here. So he doesn't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers doesn't know what's going to happen. But the Packers draft Jordan Love because they know they need stability at the quarterback position long term. I don't think they're at a point right now where they're willing to give up on that plan.
Maybe we can sum it up by saying how they define long term is what ultimately creates the answer
right
to this question. We have a lot more answers as we continue. Just getting started on Get Up today. Coming up, the numbers for Patrick Mahomes. They're obscene. But has he already accomplished enough to be a Hall of Famer if he never plays another game after Sunday? That's a question. And then it was an eventful first year in the NFL for Tua, to say the least. Find out what he learned on the job when he joins us live. All that and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back on Get Up. Hey, Dominic, take a look at this. This is LaMelo Ball throwing it up, and this is Miles Bridges throwing it down. Take a look behind the back. Oh, and the windmill.
LaMelo might be the best ball. His passing is outstanding. I saw a bunch of clips of him and Miles Bridges hooking up. I like watching them play ball. They're not going to win anything, though, but they're fun to watch.
They lost 118-111, but that was a fantastic play. All right, coming up, has Patrick Mahomes already accomplished enough to be a Hall of Famer if he never takes another snap after Sunday? We will figure out the intangible qualities that make him the face of the NFL. But the face of our trivia contest belongs to Dan Graziano, and he's going head-to-head with Sneaky Hembo today, and here it comes. Which quarterback has the single game record for passer rating in a Super Bowl? That's the question. Answer's coming up. See how Graziano does. Oh, I think he thinks he's got it. We'll find out. Let's get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up, and everyone is convinced Graziano knows it. Here we go. Dan, which quarterback owns the single game record for passer rating in a Super Bowl?
I mean, everybody knows this if you remember the game. Everybody knows this if he grew up in New Jersey at that time. Everybody knows this certainly if he covered the Giants, who lean into their history constantly. It's Phil Sims. In Super Bowl 21 against the Broncos, he completed 22 of 25 passes. It's a legendary game in Giants history. Obviously, it was their first Super Bowl. Phil Sims is the answer.
Yeah, that is correct. Absolutely correct. For the record, not one person in our studio got it. We all guessed Steve Young.
They're all too young, Greeny.
On the list. And there's the scoreboard. Again, it's Graziano 8, Hembo 6. And that should come with an asterisk because I continue to say Norm Van Brocklin doesn't count. All right, let's talk about another great quarterback. His name is Patrick Mahomes. And he is closing in on one of the greatest three-year runs in the history of sports. Including playoffs, he has posted the best QBR, the most passing yards, and the most touchdowns since week one of 2018. He has 43 wins as a starter, which is third most by a quarterback in any three-year span. Only Tom Brady and Brett Favre ever had more. And with a win, he'll have two championships and an MVP at 25. No quarterback has ever done that, which led Ryan Clark yesterday on Get Up to say this.
If Patrick Mahomes wins this Super Bowl, has the Lombardi in his hand, and on the microphone goes, you know what? This is it. I'm walking out. If he drops the mic, if he sexual chocolates off of the stage, guess what? Patrick Mahomes is going to the Hall of Fame. That's how impressive this three-year run has been.
So, I mean, any reference to sexual chocolate immediately earns return status on this show. But I will start with you, Booger McFarland. I invented overreacting, okay? I did it on the radio for 18 years. No one is a professional overreactor if I'm not. But is it an overreaction to say after three unimaginably great seasons, if it were to somehow end here, which obviously it won't, that he's a Hall of Famer right now? Booger.
Yeah, Greeny, I think it's a bit of an overreaction because I don't think it's something that we've ever seen done. Now, we're talking about him in 3 years winning two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, one regular season MVP, and then just walking off. Already understanding where he could go maybe down the road. But if he just drops the mic right there, it's going to be close, Greeny. But I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame knowing how these people vote. Understand this. Terrell Owens put up crazy numbers. Maybe it's at worst the top three receiver of all time. And they waited for him to get in. I think Patrick Mahomes is great. He's outstanding. But, Greeny, you always say never make a lot of money betting on something that's never been done, okay? Mm-hmm. Putting somebody in the Hall of Fame after 4 years has never been done. So how are we going to automatically say as a shoe-in that even though he's been so great that we could put him in? I know we think he is, but I just don't know, Greeny.
Here's why it isn't – I get it, and I hear you. But, Lewis Riddick, here's my argument. Here's why it isn't crazy. Because I think I'm the oldest person in this conversation. So I've been watching the sport going back to when the best quarterbacks were Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach. I've seen every great quarterback in the NFL the last 50 years. There's just something different going on here. Okay, so whether he would be a Hall of Famer Monday or not aside, is there just something different, Lewis? Is it accurate to say there was something going on here with Patrick Mahomes that we have literally never seen in the sport before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, 4 years ago, I remember sitting on SportsCenter. After having talked to the people down in Kansas City, and you know how I have great relationships with them down there, and this was before he had even taken a snap in a game. This was when he was just going through OTAs and rookie minicamp. And I remember talking to Brett Veach, the general manager, and he said, Lou, listen to me. This young man is doing stuff in practice that is making us go, what have we stumbled upon here? And look, they knew they had something special. They didn't know it was going to be this special, though. But they knew that they had something that was that was something that they had never seen before, that something that Andy had never seen before. And that's why they couldn't wait to unveil him the following year after Alex Smith was then traded to the Washington football team. They knew they had something special. But again, to go back to the original point of this discussion, I think greatness in the Hall of Fame is supposed to be really reward longevity as well. Because, look, the great Tiger Woods has said this recently. There's a lot of people, man, who can flash at you for a year, maybe two, maybe a tournament, maybe a six-month stretch. And I understand, look, with Patrick, we're talking about for 3 years. But can you do it for a decade? Can you do it for 8, 9, 10 years and really say I belong with the all-time greats? Not because I have unique talent of the likes which this league has never seen, but because I did it again. And again, and again. Like the quarterback who's on the other, going to be on the other side of the football field on Sunday, who's done it again and again. And then when people told him he was hitting a cliff and he was too old, he did it again. Then he went to another football team and he's doing it again. That's what, to me, is what the Hall of Fame is supposed to be about. But there's no doubt, Patrick's one of the best to ever do it, if not the very best to ever lace him up and play this position, period.
I can't argue with any of that. And so, Dominic, maybe what it comes down to is that many of us, including RC, are just trying to figure out ways to describe what we're seeing. You're trying to come up with some way to accurately capture what we are all watching, because we can all tell it's something special, and I, for the life of me, can't figure out how to explain it and give it the credit that it clearly deserves.
We've been falling over ourselves complimenting him for the past 3 years, and it still doesn't feel like enough. That's why RC said what he said yesterday, and that's why I don't think it's absurd. And I understand the things about longevity, but you also have to understand the things that get people into Hall of Fame, what Lewis just said is right. But there's only one Tom Brady. There are a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame that have not had the full careers that Patrick Mahomes has had in just these three seasons. Last year alone in the playoffs, he had three games that would have been all-time great games for a bunch of guys who are in the Hall of Fame. So it's hard when the analytics tell us he's great, our kind of regular fan eyes tell us he's great, the film junkies tell us he's great. It's hard to figure out a way to say how great he is other than, like, jump into extreme hyperbole like Ryan said he's going to be in the Hall of Fame if he retires there. We just can't figure out a word or a phrase to embody all of this. And it's kind of mind-blowing. And what's going on, Booger? Is somebody filming you from behind a curtain? Is falling down? What's happening down there, man?
Listen. Hey, I'm not sure what's going on behind me, but I can tell the stage manager has to do a little bit of a better job setting me up back here, Dominique.
All right, get on it, stage manager.
Okay, let me
blame
let
your
me
teammates.
As is usually the case, because mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time, I had the answer to this question in 2005 on ESPN Radio. And Graziano, you should get on top of this. The five-year waiting period for the Hall of Fame makes no sense, never made sense, and doesn't have any obvious bearing on anything. You should be able to put active players and coaches into the Hall of Fame. There's no obvious reason not to. In fact, it would be a great selling point. Come see Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes play this weekend. They should put active players in the Hall of Fame if they've clearly already deserved it. And you could bring boat up with all your buddies at the meeting at the Super Bowl this weekend and put them in the Hall of Fame right now, Graziano.
Hey,
how about that?
Couple of things. I'm not a Hall of Fame voter in pro football. I'm glad that Booger McFarland pointed out that the Pro Football Hall of Fame voting process is an unpredictable fiasco that would need to be significantly overhauled in order to be fair and legitimate. And I would also point out that putting active players in a Hall of Fame, it would be ignoring what a Hall of Fame is. You put active players in the Pro Bowl, on the All-Pro team. That's what those things are for. The Hall of Fame is to sit back and go, in the big picture of the history of our sport, these are the people that have accomplished the most. And that's why, while this young man is on the road to the Hall of Fame, and the car he is driving on that road is a jet-powered Ferrari that is better than any car that anyone has ever had who got on that road, the road is longer than the portion of it that he has traveled so far. I'm looking forward to seeing him go the rest of the way, but that's where we are.
Go ahead, Lou.
I can't wait to see what we say if he wins this game Sunday. I mean, I just can't wait. I'm just gonna be like this.
Building churches.
Hey, whatever.
I'm gonna lose my mind.
We'll have to rename Canton, Ohio. The town of Canton will become Mahomes, Ohio. That seems like the only reasonable way to fully express how great he has been. All right, before we let Booger go for the rest of the day.
There's nothing reasonable going on.
Today's
here.
A great anniversary for the Booger Man. We go back to Super Bowl 41. This was 14 years ago today when Booger McFarland became a two-time Super Bowl champion as his Colts beat the Bears 29-17. And look at the big fella. He gets a sack. Well, actually, it looks like Rhett Grossman fell down and you just touched him. But one way or another, it counts as a sack.
No.
Tell me about it, Booger. Tell me about that play and tell me about your favorite memories from that Super Bowl win.
Well, Greeny, my favorite memory was getting to carry Tony Dungy off the field, because when Tony Dungy was in Tampa, he got fired. He carried a box to his truck in the pouring down rain. And talk about the irony. We win in Miami, the only Super Bowl that it's ever rained in, I get an opportunity to get a sack. As you see that great spin move, Greeny. Greeny, a lesser athlete would have fallen down. I didn't fall down. Rex Grossman fell down. Greeny, look how fat I was. Look how much hair I had. Unreal. But my best memory of that game was carrying Tony Dungy off the field to see, man, look at the hair. Greeny, I'm distracted by the hair. Wow, I had a lot of hair back then. But Greeny, carrying Tony Dungy off the field and to see the joy on his face. Not only was it a Super Bowl where two African-American coaches faced off between Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith, but for him to win that Super Bowl and for me to play a pivotal part in that after he traded for me to come to Indy from Tampa, I'll never forget it. I also will never forget the spin move, but I can't forget how fat I was. My God, Greeny, was I big back then.
Well, happy anniversary. We got a two-time Super Bowl champion, and there he is. Look at the big fella.
Look at the hair, Greeny. Greeny, look at the hair.
See, that's why this whole barbershop thing would have been a problem for you if it had happened now. Okay. Booger, have a wonderful day. Thank you for spending some time with us here this morning. We got a whole lot still coming on Get Up as we go. Year one on the job, filled with ups and downs for Tua. Don't miss his take on the good and the bad when he joins us live. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
This is the biggest gamble in the history of the NFL draft.
It's Tua time in Miami.
Wow, what a throw.
Touchdown!
My goodness, did we see the real Tua Tagovailoa?
That is just great stuff.
You drafted him 5th overall because you know Ryan Fitzpatrick can't get it done.
Seems like it's an evaluation process.
Do they think that he does not have greatness inside of him?
There are very few players in the NFL that we spent more time talking about over the last 12 months, maybe longer than that, than this one. Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, is with us live on behalf of Truist, an official retail bank of the National Football League. And Tua, thank you very much for making a few minutes here. And so let's start with that. Everyone is constantly evaluating how you play. How would you evaluate your first year in the NFL?
Yeah, I'd say I'd evaluate my first year as, you know, not up to the expectation I wanted to play, or, you know, what I expected myself to be at. You know, and it just gives me another opportunity, you know, this offseason to work on the things that, you know, I didn't do as good at this upcoming or this past year. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to trying to make that, you know, leap from this year one to year two jump.
Why do you say that? Many people will look at some of the numbers and look at some of the success the team had and might evaluate you in a very positive way. Why do you feel that way?
Well, because I have high expectations for myself. And for me, if, you know, if I'm not meeting those expectations, then, you know, then to me, it's never good. You know, and there's always ways to get better. And, you know, for me, I'm just looking at trying to get better this offseason. And like I said, you know, try to be a lot better from year one to year two.
Which is frequently a place where young quarterbacks will make a big jump. There's no question about that. And then, but here you are in a something of a rude welcoming, and hopefully that we will be able to get Tua back here. I can see it appears to have paused. There we go. He seems to be back. Tua, no problem. you know, and something of a rude awakening to the business side of the business. Here you are 1 year into your career, and suddenly your team is in the midst of all of these trade rumors involving another quarterback. What is your reaction to some of the conversation that you hear, that you probably cannot avoid hearing across the NFL?
Well, you know, like I've said before, you know, I can control what I can control. And, you know, I'm the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, really, I'm just looking forward to being the best version of myself, looking at getting better this offseason, you know, and just helping our team win games next year. You know, like I said, I'm trying to be a lot better from year one to year two. And it really starts, you know, now in this offseason.
What have you heard from the organization relative to their plans for the future and their plans for you?
Well, we haven't talked anything about trade or, you know, any of, you know, that outside talk. Really, we're just talking about what we can get better with, you know, this offseason. So, you know, I've been able to talk to Coach Flo, you know, here and there. I know they've been busy with the Senior Bowl. You know, but like I said, I'm just trying to get better with this year one to year two jump, you know, and trying to focus on the things that I can continue to help, you know, win our team games next year.
And so what are those? What are the things you feel you will be better at year two?
I think the biggest thing for me is the pre-snap operations, getting to the line, you know, calling the play, but you know, understanding what everyone's doing, where everyone needs to go, where everyone needs to be. And then the, you know, just the entire pre-snap operation with the snap count, you know, the times going down, knowing the down and distance, you know, everything before the actual snap happens. And then, you know, pre-snap versus post-snap reads with what the defense is giving me.
All those things are probably things that will be assisted by having a true offseason and a preseason and all the things that you didn't get the benefit of. And so I would leave it with this question. As I started the conversation, I told you, you have probably been discussed and analyzed as much as any young football player I can ever remember. How would you describe what it has been like, what it has been like for you over the last year with everyone seeming to pick and pry apart everything you've done?
Well, I would say the good thing is I don't watch too much TV, so I don't get to hear a lot of what people say about me. I'd say the only time I get to hear that is when I have to do media, you know, after practice on Wednesdays and then Thursdays as well. You know, but other than that, I think it's really cool being talked about. You know, but for me, my biggest focus is trying to be better for, you know, the Dolphins. And, you know, also try to help us win games next year.
Tua, we appreciate the time very much. There is one show you could watch every day between 8 and 10 on ESPN. It's excellent. Outside of that, I have no issues whatsoever. Thank you very much. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Good luck as this thing goes forward. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, and expects to remain being the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. We are going to run the floor coming up, but we are. Can we bring the guys in? I wanted to try and get some reaction from our crew before we do that. But you tell me, Chrissy, do you want to go to the NBA? Oh, we can bring everybody in. Sorry about that. Just a little miscommunication. Let me bring the crew back in because I do want to react to that. You know, it is, you know, Dominique, I mean, these are difficult circumstances for any young player to be in. He's out there. He's a rookie who's coming off a major injury in his senior year, his final year of college. He had no offseason program. He had no preseason. He goes out there, does the best he can. And now, here in his first offseason, the whole world is talking about his team trading for Deshaun Watson. Those are pretty complicated circumstances to give a young person.
Yeah, and we talked about this around Aaron Rodgers, how at some point kind of all quarterbacks learn that they are players too, and it happened for him pretty early because they are already talking about moving him. They already have pulled in, or at least people outside the organization have discussed moving him. They put in Fitzpatrick and pulled him a couple times. It's a tough business, and I think that he's going to be a very good quarterback, and it's likely that he's going to be the starter down there for a while. But I think this type of strategy or this type of challenge is something that a starting quarterback in the NFL will be able to overcome. And I think Tua is strong enough to be able to overcome it.
Yeah, look, he played under an enormous spotlight at Alabama, so it's not like he's new to that sort of thing. Lewis Riddick, what are your thoughts and what did you make of his response when we were talking about these Deshaun possibilities that are just impossible to ignore.
Yeah, I'll start with the latter. Look, I think Tua really responded, Greeny, exactly like you would expect him to. This is a young man who has tremendous poise. He played at, you know, one of the most hyper-analyzed programs in all of college football down there at Alabama, so he's used to this. I mean, he says he doesn't watch TV, but he knows what's being talked about. He knows what the expectations are for him, you know, both going forward and what they were coming into the league because of the success that he had at Alabama. And as far as, you know, what's going to happen with him going forward, look, I think – we are, right now, we're in such a unique time where, because of how quickly some quarterbacks are having success, and you have to take it on a case-by-case basis, and you just can't paint all these guys with one brush. But because of some of the success that some of these young guys are having right away, we expect guys to come into this league and hit the ground running, throwing for 400 yards and having three touchdowns and having, you know, just ridiculous passer ratings. And if we don't get that right away, we're ready to just throw them out and go, just bring in the next one. Give me a high draft pick and bring in the next one. There's, like, no right now patience for developing players and giving them a year or two. This year one, a year two jump, I'll bet that it does happen for this young man. And I believe Brian Flores is going to try and build this football team around him because they've got a good base established down there starting with Tua. And I think they will give him the help he needs and he'll have a heck of a 2021.
I think that's right. But Dan Graziano, I mean, we will acknowledge that we have a circumstance that basically never happens in the NFL, which is a young superstar quarterback in his prime looking to be traded. And the Dolphins are a team that have a lot to give up. Very quickly, Dan, I just have 30 seconds. What is the latest as far as Watson and the Miami possibility?
Look, they'll look into it just like they would with any potential upgrade. Tua's their guy right now. If something ridiculous happens and they can take a chance on a player like Watson, then I would expect them to explore it. But Tua is the guy that they're planning around.
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan until all of a sudden the plan changes. They've got a ton of draft capital. If you can get Deshaun Watson, you get Deshaun Watson. We'll see what happens. All right, we'll take a break. Still to come. We've got bulletin board material in advance of the Super Bowl. It's coming straight from the top of the Kansas City organization. Don't miss this. It's on the way next. It's Get Up on ESPN.